All right, Psalm 46, and I'm reading the NIV, and just really encourage you to focus with all your heart this morning. Notice the title of the psalm. It is to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. So this is a song, a prayer that is sung. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, and here's a key word, Selah. Stop, pause, consider. Don't read further until you've really thought about what you just read. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at daybreak. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Stop, consider, and understand. As we have been in prayer, we ask God's blessing over this word, and we begin today this call to what does it look like this summer to rest, reconnect, and renew. Pastor Brandon, could you help them find a place? Thank you. What we want to do is we want to, if I could get my clicker to work too, that would be great. There we go. What we want to do is we want to understand how to grow closer to God and his word this summer. Now, most of us think of summer, and we think, especially if you're family with kids, you know, and we have them, you think, all you think about is what you're not going to do this summer. I'm not going to get up early. I'm not going to have to drive every place. I'm not going to have to do homework. But, you know, we want to make sure that with every new season of life, we are thinking about what to do. What does God have for us to do that is part of the season? Why has he given us this season, and what does he want to do in our lives? And so what we want to do is we want to recognize that as we come to a new season, it's not just a change in temperature, but it really is a season in which we can, that God wants to do something new in us. And so in our household, we always take the summer as a fresh season and say, what are our spiritual goals for the summer? Next Sunday, we're literally going to have a sermon that is about how do you, as a household, whether it's as a marriage, a family, or those you're living with, how do you come up with some spiritual goals for the summer? Because this is one of the times you may have more time to actually, like in our house, it's like this is the one time we can choose what our kids read. All school year long, they don't have time, but now they do. We want to do something together as a church family. But it all starts with what my own personal spiritual goals are going to be for the summer. And I want to invite you to look at this summer as a great opportunity to grow closer to God and his word this summer. And we want to talk about how that looks. We just spent the last 2 weeks saying a lot of significant things about the word of God. We said that it's impossible to be grateful in this world without the scripture. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, and how appropriate as we hear the news of this week, that it's impossible to have true courage without the word of God in your life. And so we want to make this a summer where we grow closer to God and his word. And the psalmist is much like us. He's saying that there's things that he's trying not to be afraid of, that he feels like the earth is giving way and the mountains are falling and the seas are roaring. I mean, he's stressed out. And yet, three times in that chapter, he says this word, Selah, because it's what he needs to do and it's what you and I need to do when the world keeps pressing on us and telling us, go, 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 don't stop, you've got more, oh, you forgot, you know, you're always stressed. The first thing all of us need to do is learn to stop. And that's the word Selah. Selah is actually a musical term because, as I noted, this psalm is actually something that's sung in temple worship. And so the instruction of Selah is actually an instructor to the choir master that says, hey, at this point, we're just going to have an instrumental solo so everybody can just stop and think about what they just sang and what they just heard. That's literally what that word means in the scripture. And in the psalm, Selah is there 71 times because the psalmists know, you and I tend to go, oh yeah, God's a, he's a refuge, he's a strength, whatever, that's great, and I've got to do this, this, and this, and this. It's like, we don't stop and receive the truth about what we're reading. And if we want to grow closer to God, and if we want to grow closer to his word, then we have to Selah, stop and consider. Really think about what was said. Don't just say it, live it. Let it into your life. Jesus made a really important connection that shows us why each of us need to Selah. And it's this, because all of us stop for what we love. All of us stop for what we love. I don't know what you love. I don't know if you're, you know, big into sports, and all of a sudden that comes on the news, and you stop because you want to find out. I don't know if you're big into politics, and all of a sudden you hear a piece of news, and you stop whatever you're doing. Why are you stopping? Because your heart naturally is fixated on that, and so anytime that comes connected, anytime that comes in, you stop what you're doing because we always stop for what we love. Why does a marriage break down? Because they don't stop and love each other well. So it's not just we stop for what we love, but when we need to love better, we need to stop. And so Jesus, in Revelations 2, 3 through 5, he's talking to a church that's persevered, that's endured hardships, they haven't grown weary, but what does he say? Look, I've got one thing still against you. You have forsaken your what? Your first love. In other words, you know it up here, but you're not living it here anymore. You know it up here. You're even doing things that are true, but it's no longer true in your own heart. It is possible to be connected with God on a mental level and not on a heart level. It's possible to have someone you love, but to be disconnected heart to heart from them. And that's why we Selah. That's why we stop. And Psalm 46 is really important because most of us tend to stop focusing on God when we get stressed out. And here's why. When we are stressed, troubled, and fearful, we need to remember this. Our main job is to be in communion with God, not to be in control like God. All right, I really feel like this is the word of the Lord for several of us in the room right now. Because there are things that are pressing on us. We have a lot of urgent things and a lot of things we want to fix in life. And so our temptation is to, God, I'm glad you're here, glad you're an ever-present time, you know, and help, glad you're a fortress. I'll talk to you later because I got to go fix this. And what you and I tend to do is instead of recognizing that the thing we really need is to be in communion with God, we try to be in control like God. And it always does what? Makes things worse. Always makes it worse. So I really feel like this is a word of the Lord for several of us in the room. The main goal of this summer, the main goal in your circumstance is not to be in control. It's to be in communion with the God who is in control. Can I get an amen for that? Someone got that? So I don't want to, even though everything's telling me I don't have time, I need to stop for the one who loves me and for the one that I love. To Selah is to stop, two important words, to focus. And then, not just focus, but be filled with the one we love and with the truth we confess to live by. Every day as we say la, we take this summer and say, Lord, I really want to make sure I'm stopping to love you. I want to focus on you, but I just don't want to focus on you and get a few facts from my mind. I want to be filled by you because you are the power in this life. You know, when I was in college and had lots more hair at the time. Be shocking to see the pictures. You'd be shocked. There was this girl that I noticed a few times. Name was Sarah Pfister, right? My now wife, Sarah Franco. And man, my friend Kevin and I were walking across the campus kind of mall area, and man, she walked on by. And she knew Kevin, so she hi. And what did I do? I stopped. I fully stopped. Because my heart was drawn to someone, and my initial, I mean, I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to, what should I do next? I stopped because I wanted to get to know the one my heart was going after. And you know, it's the same with God. We need to stop in his presence because truly, our heart is made to long after him. And we need to stop. But just like meeting my future wife, Sarah, I didn't just stop and they go, okay. No, I did this next thing. And let's see if it'll happen there. I need a click, please. I studied. Now, some may people refer to it as stalking, but I thought I was more studying her. You know, I was just, I guess there's a line there. But no, I was just, all of a sudden I wanted to know about her. Hey, Kevin, who's that? You know, hey, what's her, is she going out with anybody? What's going on? Like, all of a sudden, I didn't want to just stop. I wanted to study. I wanted to get to know the person that my heart was made for. And you and I have to do the same thing. And we forget that every time we open up the scripture, that's what we're doing. This is not an academic pursuit. This is getting to know the one you love. Because the Bible says in John 1 that Jesus is the Word who became flesh and made his own. In other words, every time I come to the scripture, I'm taking time to get to know the one I love. I'm studying. Who is he? What's he like? Who does he care for? Where does he go? What is he inviting people into? What is he about? That's what we do when we open up the scripture. We stop, and then we study, and we get to know. And it's not just a mental pursuit, because the psalmist will tell us, the precepts of the Lord, I'm reading the scripture, I'm learning the principles of the Lord, they're bringing joy to here. No, they're bringing joy here, because I'm not just doing something with my mind, I'm meeting with the one I love. I'm getting to know who he is and understand how in each season of life I want to know him more. Well, I say in premarital and marital counseling, it says you're always a student of your spouse. Because just because you said you love him once, then the seasons change. Now, God never changes, but my seasons change. And when I change, I need to understand how to love him and how he wants to love me. It doesn't matter if I've been a Christian 30, 40 years, and I think I could tell you backwards and forwards the Bible. I need to, in a fresh way every day, say, I want to know you today. I want to know you. Now, a lot of us will say, but Pastor Sean, I don't have any training. I don't really understand the Bible. All right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you 5 questions to ask every time you read a chapter in the Bible. I'm going to show you in this moment, it really works. This is how you can take this summer and every day hear from God. Let me note with two. In the Connection Center, not on this table, but out there, there's a green sheet that's called journaling, a way to listen to God. And if you want to take this, this is how I journal. And I want to encourage a lot of you to pick up a journal. And this summer, make it about hearing from God. And what I give you right now is going to help. And this can be a little add-on for you. It answers some of your questions because there's always a lot of questions about that. But this summer really can be a way to get to know him. So when we read a chapter and what we're going to do, just one more piece of information, June 20th, not this Monday but next Monday, as a church family, we're going to start reading a chapter today in the book of Genesis. We're going to read Monday through Friday. There'll always be a Facebook post to remind you and draw something out of what you read. But when you do this, what you're going to do is you read the chapter just like we read chapter 46, and here's the first question you ask. What does God promise in this chapter? What's God's promise? That's always an important place to start because in the world where nothing seems true and you're always doubting yourself and there's confusion, what does God say is true? So this scripture in verse 1 says that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Literally, you've got a page, you've got the 5 questions, and under number 1, you just read, God promises that he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. That's all you got to do. That's studying the Bible. Okay? And then what you do is after you figure out, maybe there's 2 or 3 promises in there. Number 2, you ask yourself this, what picture of God do I see here? Because sometimes this Bible is about him, and it's showing me something about who he is. And so if I just ask the picture, what does this chapter show about who God is? Well, I mean, the Psalms are really easy. It says twice, God's a fortress. And then you think about, what does that mean? Well, it means like God, you can't defeat him. He's strong, like nobody prevails against him. And so you just start thinking, it's like, you just, number two, you know what? The picture I see is that God's strong in a fortress that will protect me. That's all you do. Then you get to the question number three. Well, what problem of life is in this chapter? Because God gave us the word, so in our life, we can know him. And so the word of God is about real life. And so even though it might seem like a really far off time and you don't understand some of the culture behind it, every chapter has a story about a problem in life, like a David and Goliath, like a Jericho, like five loaves, two fish. I mean, there's like, what was going on? That is something I need to know. And of course, again, chapter 46 is easy. This guy's just stressed out. He's trying to tell himself, I won't be afraid of. I feel like the walls are crashing down around me, and I feel like everything's roaring and out of control. I mean, that's what he's saying here. So I just write that down. You know, the problem in life is this chapter is about being stressed out. And then what I do is this. Number four, what principles should I live by? And again, you literally just write all this out. Just take a page every day and do this. Well, the scripture says in verse 10, you know what I should do when I'm stressed out? I should be still and know that God is God. Selah. I should think about it. You just write that down. Now, all four of those questions are important, but they actually all lead to the final question, because the final question is really how you're spending time with God. And it's this. What is God's personal message to me through the chapter? So I heard about the promise. I got a picture of who God is. I see the problem of life and present. Like, it's all good. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, what does it all mean to me? God, what are you saying to me today? What's your personal message for me? When you do that, you start to hear the voice of the Lord. You start to get the strength that you've heard about in sermons, but it's like, well, I guess because Pastor Sean's a pastor, I guess he gets that. It's like, no, we all get it. Because the Holy Spirit is inciting us, guiding us, and reminding us of the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I was doing this, and literally this sermon came from an experience in Psalm 46. It was about 2 months ago. I always try to read a psalm a day with whatever else I read in the Bible, because the psalm's such an easy way to say, oh yeah, that's how I feel today. You know, it's such good practice. So on the day that I read this, I was having a very busy day, and I was slammed, and then I forget if I was surprised or if I knew and just forgot, but I had to go pick up Melody at Clover Hill High School. And I hadn't had a Selah moment all day. So I drove all the way there, and I had my Bible. I was like, my God, I haven't had my time with you today, and I'm feeling stressed out, and there's tons going on at work. And so it turns out I got there, and I was early, and we had a little miscommunication, which never happens when parents try to pick up kids at school, right? Never happens. And so I actually had time. So I opened up Psalm 46, and I said, well, let's make this time. I'm in my car. It was kind of a nice day. And I start reading through it, but I'm not stopping. I'm not Selah. I'm not studying it. All I'm really doing is like information, 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 information. Well, the third Selah got me. I was like, hello, stop and think about it. So I started thinking about it, and I said, Lord, man, I'm so stressed out. I mean, I get it. It helps to know that your people get stressed out and overwhelmed, but what are you saying to me? And God was like, you could say la for a moment, and I'd be happy to tell you. So I did, and literally, I started just casually looking over again, and God stopped me on a dime on verse 4. And it's literally written in the margin of my Bible. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And here's what I wrote, because I had noticed, you know, I had underlined fortress, fortress, fortress. Okay, God, I get your fortress. Here's what I wrote. A fortress without a river in it is just a prison. The Holy Spirit must be flowing through my life, my ministry, and my family. The river only flows by worshiping God. To know who he is as my mighty God gives me perspective on all the troubled circumstances and struggles of my life. All of a sudden, I didn't just know piece of information. It's like, God, it's like, Sean, a fortress without any water in it, just a big prison. That's all it is. You got principles and you know I'm strong, and that's great, but there's no life. Sean, when's the last time you worshiped me? When's the last time you sung? When's the last time you allowed the spirit of mine to come and to fill you with gratefulness? What did Jesus say in John 7? Says, if anyone's thirsty, why don't you come? And what's going to happen? Rivers of living water are going to start to come out of you because of who I am in your life. And I had a great worship moment. I had a great worship moment in my car waiting for her to pick up my daughter because I'd finally truly say la. And that's really what leads to the next step is we need to learn to sing. Now, this is going to go contrary to some of what you feel is ingrained in your life. But I want to encourage you, if you want to get closer to God and closer to His Word, you don't just need to stop. You need to study, but don't stop at studying. Sing. Worship Him. Don't save it to Sunday morning in church service. Sing to the Lord. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God sings over you. And we're supposed to sing over Him. The scripture in Ephesians 5:19-20 says, sing and make music where? In your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible's really clear that our heart is meant to sing for the Lord. When we're filled with the Spirit and it's overflowing, that's what comes out. A song comes out because we are worshiping Him. Our hearts were made for Him. When I was dating Sarah, we used to go on dates and I'd be thinking about what music's playing because I always had a song about the one I loved because I didn't, no one told me to do that. It just was what my heart wanted to do. You know, I think what the Bible really shows is that every heart is meant to sing. Singing, and I'm going to say this privately, not publicly, singing is not about your personality and it's not about your ability. It's about what's in your heart, okay? Now, when it comes to the public, yeah, sure, your ability and your personality play a lot into how much you connect in singing, but not personally. And I would encourage you that really it's the enemy stealing from you when you don't have any private time when you're singing to the Lord. Now, here's my thought on it, that when I'm stressed out, my heart's not even breathing. But anytime I get on vacation, I get a little time off, I start listening to the radio, I hear myself, what happens? I start singing. Why? Because my heart's getting a chance to be what it wants to be. And God really has made each one of us to sing. The Bible's pretty clear. The heart is meant to sing. Now, of course, who was Satan before he fell? Lucifer. And what was his job? He was a worship leader. So wouldn't it make sense that the one who led worship and now in bitterness and hatred of God no longer is part of that, is trying to steal your song from God too? Doesn't that just make sense? That the one thing the enemy wants to do in your life is take the song that your heart wants to sing in God. Most of the time it's just through stress, but other times it's through sin. Now, I'm just going to have a little fun with you for a moment, but I can just prove to you that your heart, when it gets a chance to think and when it gets a chance to breathe, when it gets to focus on something it loves, it automatically sings. Because if you're following the Golden State Warriors right now in the finals and you know they're one game away, you know, you're singing this. You're just like, yes! You ever win a game and start singing this song? Did anybody tell you to do it? You just started singing it. Why? Because that's what your heart's singing. It's like, we're the champions. And your heart just begins to follow it. Now, some of you are going to work tomorrow, and there's a lot to do, and this is what your heart's doing. It's the Darth Vader Imperial March. You're like, oh, man, going back. No one's got to tell you to do it. Your heart's playing it. Some of you, a little bit more from the country, and you just celebrate your anniversary, or you're in love, and you're singing this. I just love that woman. She's just awesome. In love forever. No one's got to tell you to sing it. You just want to sing it. Some of you, maybe you're a little bit more my seasoned state. Some of your songs are a little different. Someone's kind of bothering you and they're not a good friend and you're thinking. I that's that guy just crying all the time. Not a friend of mine, right? It's just no one's got to tell you to sing it. Okay, maybe you grew up in the 80s like I did, and whether your kids are doing good in school or something, you're feeling good about yourself. You just walk around. Uh-huh. That's right. Right here. All right. Some of you just know that school's out. You just know that school's out. So you're singing this one. Do the Carlton. Right? You're just like, no one's got to tell you. You're just happy. And the song's there. Some of you could actually be happy right now. But you know what? All of us, really what we want is this song.
You're a good father.
If it's true, you don't have any problem singing it. It doesn't take you a second to catch it and start singing it. Why? Because it's your heart. Because it's your heart. Because your heart's connecting to it. Some of you are in the middle of stress, but if you're like me, this is the song you sing when you don't know the answer.
Jesus is the answer.
And we got a little Andre Crouch in him? Oh, only a few. Okay. I sing this song all the time, man. It's like, there's the answer right there. He's faithful. He's true. I can hear that in 2 seconds and start singing. My heart already knows it. Now, some of us don't even need words, though, because we just know how good God has been to us. And all we got to do is start hearing the song we know. Like, he's just good. Like, he's just got grace. Doesn't take me 2 seconds to connect. Why? Because that's what my heart's singing when I actually give it a chance to sing. And I just start thinking about grace. I think about God's goodness. Why? Because someone's telling me and teaching me to do it. That's how my heart was made. It's meant to sing. And we live in a world that says, well, you know, you only sing here or there. And we live in a church world that says you only sing on Sunday mornings. I'm letting you know that's a lie. You're getting stolen from. Because David all the time says, I will sing unto the Lord. I will give him praise. I will exalt him with music. That's what the heart does. It has nothing to do with personality. It has nothing to do with your ability. Not by yourself. And if you want to draw closer to God, if you want to get to know him this summer, you got to find your song. You got to find a place where you don't just like eat Cheerios and read and then run out there. It's like, no, you stop and you remember how good he is and you study who he is and you start declaring, you know, God, there's something in my heart that wants to sing for you. I'm telling you, if you feel dry or weary, what you're missing is a song. You're missing the song of the Lord in your life. It's what the Spirit of God does in us. And so, you know, I've just said this, that your heart was made to sing. Psalm, next slide, please. Psalm 108 tells us, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. I will praise you, O Lord, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God. Psalm 104, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him. There's the connection between study and song. I'm focused, I'm learning, I'm staying, and my meditation. Some of you, I'm telling you what, you know, when you choose, I don't want to be too hard here because we all go through season, but I just want to encourage you. If you're like saying, I don't feel like singing, my encouragement is you should sing so you'll feel, all right? Because here's what I've discovered, that our personalities, abilities, and backgrounds may affect our comfort and connection levels in public worship, but the ultimate and long-term reason we don't sing to God is because he is not the song our hearts are singing. Done. You know, I love my kids, and you know what? When we're in Ethiopia, and I don't understand the word, but they're singing some song about how great they are, I'm all in. Might not be my style of music. I don't even understand lines, but I'm all in. Why? Because they're singing about the one I love. And if you love Jesus, I don't care what background you're singing. I don't care what style. If you're singing about the one I love, I'm in. Why? Because my heart's already singing a song to him. It's not a music style. It's a focus. It's what is my heart singing? And I just want to encourage you, when the enemy can't get us to stop, and when he can't get us from studying, he'll stop us from singing. And when he stops you from singing, you're missing the freshness of the Holy Spirit in your life, where the presence of God just begins to wash over you and do something new in your life. So I want to encourage you that this is the summer you find your song. You find your song. You may have to go 2 miles out where no one can hear you singing, all right, just to protect everybody else, all right? But go for it. Find the song. How to grow closer to God and his word this summer. Stop, study, sing. And then the last one, soak. Take some time. What does Psalm 46 say? Be still. Man, hang out there a little bit. When I was dating my wife, I mean, I wasn't like, hey, okay, that's been a great 45 minutes. I got to go. I never did that. You know, what does every couple who falls in love have? There's like, and we met, and we just started, and then we just talked until the restaurant closed down, and then blah, blah. Why? Because when you're in the presence of someone you love, you soak there. You stay there. You wanna hear and listen. And God is no different. God is someone that you don't want to just stop. You don't want to just study. You don't want to just sing. You want to hang out and listen. Take that "what's God's message to me" line after the study and just see what he says. Be still and know that I am God. Job 33:14, for God does speak. Now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Psalm 32:8, this is God's promise to every person who follows him. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Jesus said, John 10, he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus says, those who are mine know my voice. Again, the journaling, how to recognize the voice of the Lord as you read and journal, that's in the back. I really encourage you to do that. And if for some reason you've bought the lie that you're not supposed to hear the voice of the Lord, I want to encourage you, this is a summer to make that change, to be someone who sings and loves the Lord. How do I grow closer to God and his word this summer? We're starting off together this summer. Stop, say la, for the one you love. Study the scriptures to know him. Sing to the one who is singing over you. And lastly, soak in his presence and do a little bit more of this. A little bit more listening. Last Sunday, we talked about having courage. And the Lord had, I got an invitation to preach or to speak at Thomas Dale's baccalaureate. And it was one of those times where I was like, I'm pretty sure God wants me to do that, but I don't know why I'm doing it. And I knew I was going to be busy all the way up to it. I just felt like the Lord said, I'll let you know when you get there. So I'm driving to the baccalaureate, and I literally have nothing prepared for baccalaureate. And I'm just like, man, God, what am I going to do? And I just felt like, Lord, I'm pretty sure you said to do this. And I feel like you're talking to me about the Selah thing. So again, in another parking lot in another school, I just stopped. And I just, Selah, I just did a little of this. I literally did this. God, what are you saying to me? What's your message to me? And all of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me about Samuel anointing David for king. And he said, Sean, I want you to do this. What? So literally, I had a thing of anointing oil in my car. And I was like, God, all right. And I felt like God said, like, the whole Moses thing, what's in your hand? It's like, well, I got nothing in my hand, but I literally did this. God, I've got $2 in my pocket. I've got anointing oil, and I've got my Jesus's wristband on. I said, good enough. So I get up there, and there's probably about 100 students and probably another 200 to 300 parents and everything. We're in Thomas Dale Auditorium, and Jeff goes and does a great job. And I'm still up there like, okay, I think I'm going to do something like this, right? And I just felt like the Lord said, Sean, I want you to look at all the students. See, and as I'm looking, like literally, and I can't tell you exactly how, I was like, anoint him, anoint her, give the money to him and her, and do that. So I get up, and it's my turn to speak, and I literally like, the first thing I said is this. I said, thank you to parents, administrators. I said, hey, as you graduate, I hope the one thing you're graduating with is you know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I said the gospel. I just said it to him. This is the gospel. This is the truth, the good news about Jesus. And I said, God's looking for people who are going to share it. And so then what I did was I got out my anointing oil, and I said, because God's all about, there's a story about Samuel in the Bible where even though everybody else thought they were supposed to be the person, God saw somebody nobody else saw. So I go up to this one dude, and I literally have to scoot through the row, and I said, and my friend, I said, I don't know you, dude. He's like, no, you don't know me. I said, God told me to anoint you today for him because he wants to do great things in your life. So my thing, like everybody's looking around. And I literally said this. So I said, so are you ready for this? He said, no. I said, me neither. And literally, I just prayed out loud. I said, Lord, I pray that you touch this young man's life and that you use him for your purposes, that he would not be discouraged, but that he would grow in you. Finished. And I all of a sudden, it was like, okay, God's in the place for a big time. I walk over. There's this one girl. And I take off my Jesus's brace. I say, hey. I said, I'm going to give my gift to you. I said, I don't know you. She's like, no. I said, God's saying if you really know the answer to who he is, he wants to do great things in your life. I said something like that. I gave it to her. She's like, yeah. So I go over to the other girl that I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to anoint, and she's in the front row. And I come over to her. I said, I don't know you. And she says, I don't know you. I'm like, okay. I said, is it okay if I anoint you? Well, she stands up, goes like this. As I anoint her with oil, she just starts weeping. We're in the middle of baccalaureate, okay? Thomas Dale sits down. I give a dollar to the one girl. I give $1 to one girl. Says, as God uses you and gives you success, you're supposed to be a generous person, and you're supposed to give lots of these to people who need it. Did that to one, did another, finish up. And everybody, I mean, the presence of God was in the place. It was pretty cool. So afterwards, someone comes up and said, you didn't know that guy? I'm like, no. I said, Sean, you don't know what that guy's going through, the guy you anointed. And he proceeded to tell me a story. Whoa. I mean, just amazing. And then talked to the girl God had just been speaking about. I mean, it was really an incredible moment. And it was all about, God, I just got to hear your voice. I got to be willing to step out when you tell me to step out. Funny thing is, with Sarah, when I stopped, when I got to know her, when I studied, when I used to have a song in my heart for her, and when I would really soak, it always wound up me serving her. Kind of funny how that happened. You do that with God, you won't have any problem serving him. It'll just be an overflow. So we want to take communion to finish up. What does the scripture say? This is our Selah moment as a church together. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 tells us to do this in remembrance of him. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to invite you to stand right now if you would. As the ushers distribute the communion, would you just hold on to it until we take together? But would you now take a moment to stop, to study, to sing, to soak? Here we go. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Selah, remember, stop, let it come in, focus and be filled. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Hold the elements. Lord, we take a moment to see who you are in this passage of Scripture. You are the God who has given your very life for us. You are the God who humbled themselves and whose body was broken. You are the God who was nailed to the cross and whose blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, the problem in our life is there's no way for forgiveness and no way with peace except through you. And Lord, you have promised that those who trust in you will never be put to shame. That in you is life and forgiveness and peace. Father, speak a personal message to each person here that they would know how much you love them and that you're the only source of forgiveness and peace in this life. You are an ever-present help in time of trouble. You are the one to be still before and know that you are God. Lord, speak to our hearts today about who you are and hear the song of our hearts as we take this moment of worship.
You You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am.
I've already received communion this morning, but I'm going to lead you in it now. Lord, there is no greater picture of how much you love us and who you are than the cross. There is no greater picture than what we hold in our hands. Lord, if there is any pride and control in our life, you whose body was broken for us, would you forgive us and allow our greatest priority not to be in control, but to be in communion. Communion with you. Guide our lives. Have our life. And I'm going to ask, as every head is bowed and eyes are closed, you don't want to take communion if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You want to make that choice today to know him. Because what you're about to take is everything he promised. And you don't want to take it and not say yes to it. So I'm going to ask today, as we're all praying, if you're here and whether you need to accept Jesus Christ for the first time in your life, or you've walked away, or you've just grown very weary and tired, and you need to say yes to him afresh and anew. You need to rededicate your life to the one who gave his life for you, the one who sings over you with love. I'm going to ask, as heads are bowed, and if you want to make that decision today, all I'm going to ask you to do is look up at me and raise a hand and indicate, Pastor Sean, today I'm not just having an emotion. I'm not just thinking about it. I'm making a decision. I need to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to ask him to forgive me of my sins. I want to ask him to come into my life and lead and guide me. If that's you this morning, would you just look up at me right now while nobody else is looking and just raise a hand and indicate, amen. Indicate that decision. Anyone else this morning? Amen. Anyone else this morning? Before we take the very symbol of all he's given to us, let's make sure we've given to him all we are. Is there anyone else who needs to make that decision today? So, Lord, we say thank you for the decisions of our hearts. And, Lord, we confess with our mouth, Lord, that you are Lord and Savior. You've been raised from the dead. And Father, life and victory and all truth is in you. Thank you for the sacrifice that we would be able to be free and clean of all the sin and selfishness of our lives. We surrender again as we receive now the body of Christ, your body broken for us. Would you take and receive now? Would you say la as you take it? And now as we hold the cup, as you have forgiven us, let us be someone who forgives others. As you have had mercy on us by great sacrifice, let us live in mercy as well. Holy Spirit, give us a new song. Take away the weight and the hardness that has kept us from singing. Take away the stress and the agendas that keep us more focused on where we're going than to stop and be with you. We ask that you would do this now as we remember this very cup. It is the place of covenant. It is the place we say, I do, to the one we love the most. We love you. Our lives are yours. Take now and receive the blood that was shed for you. Selah. Would you take a moment to soak in his presence, asking what is the personal message for you? Just take a moment of soaking. We'll get to everything easily in a minute. Father, I pray for a summer of closeness with you in your word that has never been known before. I pray out you pour your Holy Spirit. I pray that people in this place discover their song of love for you in whatever style or way it is, but all being all about you and your joy and your victory, your faithfulness and your love. Lord, we long to be more of yours. Let this be a summer, Lord, of knowing your word in you like never before. We ask it, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.